Well, our first segment of the last For the People here in November is bringing back a individual who I've known since it kind of technically before her nonprofit had a home. It was thrilling to be part of the launch of Adams House here in Connecticut, located in Shelton, and offering grief education and peer support in a home-like setting, and offering a safe healing place for families as they go through an 8-week grief journey. We're going to tell you about it or remind you of it with our guest, Allison Wysota. But we want to also remind you that since the holidays are coming, you can put yourself into a holiday location where one or more great Christmas movies have been filmed in a celebration of cinema and the holiday season. Connecticut just unveiled the nation's first ever Christmas movie trail. This unique journey lets movie lovers experience the quaint towns, bustling cities, and festive settings that have captivated millions of viewers through these beloved Christmas classics. There's a curated map featuring 22 filming locations, and it invites listeners to step into the cozy inns, the intimate cafes, the charming shops, and iconic attractions where their favorite holiday stories were brought to life. For more information, including access to the Connecticut Christmas Movie Trail map, just go to ctvisit.com. All right. So let's bring in the voice of a longtime friend and resource here to many of our listeners and many other folks in Connecticut. Allison Wysota is with us. She is the founder of Adams House, a grief support location for Connecticut's children and families. Allison, welcome back. Thank you so much for being part of the program.
Yeah, thanks for having me back. It's nice to talk to you again.
So it's been quite a while since those days kind of standing in the half-empty house, waiting to finish the furnishings and open the doors, and then coming back and being there as you were hosting families and things like that. Tell us a little bit about the history of this organization and how it has evolved over these years since we first met.
Sure. So Adam's House is named after my husband, Adam, who unexpectedly died from a heart attack in 2012. And in looking for my own resources for my own children, came upon, you know, the fact that there's a real need here. And the need is to provide these services where we kind of don't send the message that we think they're sick, but we send the message that they just need support. You know, grief is really hard, and sometimes children are the forgotten mourners. And so this is why it was important for my boys. You know, my boys, that was one thing they were vocal about, to be around other kids going through what they were going through. So we kind of set out as a family mission to, you know, make that happen. And it being in a warm home-like setting was important. And we opened our doors. And so, yeah, you saw us at inception, and then we spent, you know, a fair amount of time just educating people, you know, what we were doing and what our program was about. And, you know, all these years later, you know, that's like, we're like 7 years down the pike. You know, I think people are really starting to recognize that, you know, we're a great resource for our families who are bereaved.
And it's important to know how unique this program is, because while a lot of organizations for their own self-preservation need to focus as much on quantity as quality, you basically provide services to several dozen people a year, not hundreds or thousands. So it probably speaks to not only the quality and outcomes of the work that you're doing, but also the dedication that you and your team and your supporters have to making sure the job gets done right.
Oh, you know, I love that you said that, John. It's something that comes up at our board table all the time, and something we war with. You know, everyone wants to know your numbers. But, you know, one of the things that I think comes across when you're a bereaved family coming through a program like Adam's House, and you're with us for 8 weeks, we have a closed group, curriculum based, so everyone knows what we're talking about. But I think it becomes really apparent that those families realize we are working those 8 weeks solely on helping their grief journey. And it's one of the things I think I'm most proud about, because it's customized grief, right? We you hear all the memes, grief is as unique as a fingerprint. And so we don't have a cookie cutter program. We do have themes. But then we brainstorm with our volunteers, hey, what are you seeing in group? Okay, what's going to speak to this group of children? You know, some children are talkers, some children are doers, some children are more physical. And so then we'll build activities that tap that theme based on what we see and are presented in group. So, yeah, thanks for bringing that up.
Sure. So let's talk about the program a little bit more in depth. But before we do that, just speak to anything else that Adam's House is providing in a more compartmentalized way, either to those who have now become veterans or graduates of the program, or other Sure. people in the general community. Can you provide resources, or are you providing resources on a more compartmentalized basis with grief workshops or anything like that?
Yeah, sure. So yeah, there are a lot of things that, you know, we say like Adam's House is like an onion. There are a lot of layers to us, and there's a lot of things I, you know, kind of put in place and you know, try to launch, and we'll try anything once and see if it sticks. And so one of the things we launched this year was a program called Monday Mornings, and that was just for the adults in the community who maybe don't have kids that qualify for our Helping Hearts Heal program. And so we'll run that probably again this winter. You know, we definitely try to run things when there's a need, and if we have the numbers that make sense to launch a program, we'll do it. And then the other thing we started this year is a grief mentoring program. And so, you know, we have adults that aren't quite ready to jump into program but still want the support. And so, you know, I'll meet with them on a one-to-one basis and, you know, just kind of hear their story, hear where they're at, hear where they're struggling, and, you know, and then try to provide additional resources as, you know, I see fit. So, you know, sometimes it's therapy, sometimes it's, you know, maybe you want to join an art class and express your grief in a different way. You know, I love equine therapy. I love Reiki. So like, you know, again, it's unique. So it's not like, you know, talk therapy is beneficial, but sometimes they're already in talk therapy and they're looking for something else.
Yeah. So. And you're also giving entire organizations the benefit of your experience and expertise. And I'm specifically talking about how you are bringing resources to help businesses and business owners best support members of their team who are going through a grief journey.
Yeah, I mean, look, we really try hard, and we do have limited resources, but, you know, limited staff, but, you know, we try as we might to you know, jump in where there's a need and a request. So I've definitely gone into some schools that have been really struggling with staff that might be struggling with a lot of grieving children, and how best to support staff so that they could support them day in and day out. So I love doing that. Companies will definitely call for, hey, how should I handle this? And so, you know, I'm always happy to jump on a call and brainstorm with them. And yeah, I mean, companies wanted me to come in and do a lunch and learn, you know, we're always happy to do that. We did a professional development for the Shelton support staff. So that was great. And so, yeah, when there's a need and a request, sure, we're happy to fill it.
Great. So I guess the important points to address we'll do here in the last 5 or 6 minutes that we have with you. And that is, who comes to you and when? Is mm-hmm. your program something that, you know, the parent of a child whose sibling or other parent or loved one or grandparent is, you know, sort of in the final stages of life, so that they've essentially got this particular coping service in place when the eventuality of the passing happens? Or do loved ones, parents, grandparents, teachers, whoever, need to recognize that a young person is more abnormally experiencing the passing to reach out as sort of like an emergency response to a drastic behavioral modification following the death of a loved one?
I think the quick answer to your question is like it runs the gamut. We definitely get calls when loved ones are in hospice for how do we do this? A lot of times hospice does a really good job prepping the families and the kids involved. But a lot of times hospice will refer them to us to be there for when the death occurs. And sometimes it's just, again, it's like coaching or talking and, I think we have a really hard time dealing with, sadness. And I always like to blame social media here, but parents get concerned when they're sad or they're angry. And when an out of order loss happens and they've lost a parent, especially, or a sibling, those kids are entitled to both of those emotions. And so there's like automatic concern that's happened and they have those emotions where, when there's love, there's grief. And where there's grief, those are those emotions. And then we'll talk about it. And so sometimes families will come in and they just want the support or the reassurance that these grief behaviors are somewhat normal and to be expected. Or sometimes it's the opposite. Sometimes no emotions being, that's a big call too.
Sure.
My child hasn't cried. My child hasn't expressed anything. Should I be worried? And, we kind of talk about that and they'll go on our, we have 46 families waiting for services and, they'll jump in when they're ready. Everyone's ready to tell their story. I always say you have to be ready to hear 8 or 9 other stories. So when you're in a good brain space for this, you can jump into a program. And then more than likely, our families are involved in therapy. So I rely on those therapists to make the call. I always say, tell them you're ready to, you want to do an Adam's House program. They're welcome to call me. But I want their approval or disapproval that you and your family are ready to come to a program. So yeah. So sometimes I've had families come 5 years after the loss with apologies and like, you have to say, sorry to me, you weren't ready. Now you're ready to do the, grief's hard work and doing the work at Adam's House is hard work. And so, sometimes it takes them 5 years to be willing to like go there and okay, I'm ready now. Okay. So, yeah.
Well, that was important to qualify there, Allison. So in the last minute or so that we have with you, how can people best help Adam's House continue to do the work they do and maybe even expand to be able to help more families and young people through their grief journey?
Yeah, I mean, look, our services that we provide are at no cost. So we're constantly, unfortunately, always have our hand out.
Sure.
So we're always looking for philanthropic partners and we've been lucky to have some nice support, but we're always looking for more. And obviously the more philanthropic partners we have, and like Community Foundation is a huge one and lets us do some great work, but the more partners we have, the more programs we can launch. And so, yeah, if they want to help that way, and your listeners want to get involved, they could definitely reach out and can have a conversation. There are a ton of ways, that we kind of try to, give the shout outs to the companies as well.
Sure.
We have board positions. So we have a couple of vacancies opening up in the early quarter of the first quarter of 2025.
Okay.
So if that's something that people are interested in. Yeah. And then we have FIG training in January. So if this speaks to your listeners and they want to get involved and help these kids in group, they're welcome to do that as well. And all that information's on our website.
Yep. And folks can learn about Adam's House across the entire gamut of social network sites, as well as through their website, adamshousect.org, supporting children struggling with any type loss, parent, grandparent, sibling, aunt, uncle, friend, classmate. All these programs are offered at no cost. And Allison, we continue to very much appreciate the role that you're playing here in grappling with grief here in Connecticut and out of Adam's house in Shelton. We wish you happy holidays and all the best for the new year, and we'll be talking to you again soon.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.